broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 30th of the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and we're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, free. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate if you have the heart to help. Hour one yesterday recap. We had our guest on Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. And we talked about Trump's crusaders' march to war. Donald Trump is a whole lot more war hawkish than we first thought. And certainly an about-face from the campaign trail. Suggestions that we ought to back out of most of these foreign wars, and we're spending too much money on foreign aid. Now Donald's kind of had a 180 on that, sad to say. Our prayers are that he changes his heart and stands for peace and avoids foreign entanglements and adopts more of a George Washington-esque foreign policy, if you will. Remember our February 25th discussion of the petrodollar? Yeah, that's why the United States has posed an embargo on uranium oil. Bottom line is, they say the Iranians are the enemy, but you know what? We just continue to meddle. Why do we have to be in wars in Venezuela, and why are we provoking Iran, and why are we doing all this stuff, folks? Answer, Washington has destroyed Western liberty. The era of tyranny has begun, writes Paul Craig Roberts and LouRockwell.com. We need to avoid these foreign entanglements, but you know what? If we keep our dollar tied to black gold or oil, if you will, and we ignore the constitutional provisions of gold and silver currency, we're in trouble, folks. That is the problem. Ron Paul talks about whistleblowers. Whistleblowers are heroic, patriotic. Amen to that. Japan leads the way, folks, talking about vaccinations. No vaccine mandates and no MMR. Vaccines equals healthier children. Christina Kristen writes this piece. The United States, believe it or not, has the very highest infant mortality rate of all industrialized countries, with more American children dying at birth than in their first year than in any other nation, and half those who survive develop at least one chronic illness as well. I mean, what's going on in America, folks? I thought we had some of the best health care in the world. There's problems. Vaccines are tied to many of them. UCLA, Cal State, I guess they're quarantining students who cannot prove they've had measles vaccinations. This is serious business, folks. A woman has a right to murder her child, but I don't have a right to refuse vaccines that they claim are safe and effective. But I would ask, why is there $4 billion spent on a vaccine injury compensation fund if they're safe and effective? The battle rages in the vaccine discussions. It's all about the culture wars. That was hour one with Lowell Nelson. Hour two, Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. We talked about Brigham Young University student Matt Easton. He's a commencement speaker, a valedictorian speaker, comes out as gay during the speech. Now, we focused then on the family, a proclamation to the world at LDS.org as a way to kind of understand what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints views are on this. We also talked about a Canadian father who defies court by calling his daughter a she. He got in big trouble. The ACLU also doubles down and targets a sheriff for an Easter greeting. So the attacks on Christians are here, folks. And I'm really frustrated with Matt Eastman, not because he uses his agency and comes out as gay, not because we shouldn't love people no matter what choices they make, but because he really held Brigham Young University hostage on this altar. BYU student Matt Easton, commencement speaker, come out as gay during speech. He really held everybody in the arena there, all 10,000 plus, and all the people on the internet kind of hostage with this discussion. How do you deal with this? How do you, respond with love and kindness, but yet standing for what we believe? And I pointed to the proclamation on the family as one of the great ways to highlight the official position of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, it turns out that KUTV says that Easton's speech had been approved and read by BYU Brigham Young University officials, and they said, hey, it's go ahead, which concerns me greatly. Now, KUTV also noted that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that having same-sex attraction is not a sin, but acting upon those feelings is sinful. And, you know, where do you get into the thou shalt not commit adultery and then thou shalt not do anything like unto it? It's a very, very dicey discussion, because I agree that you can't help sometimes your feelings. You can control your actions. I agree with that line, if you will. I also agree, though, that we need to make sure that we direct our feelings in the right way. Brigham Young University's honor code does not ban gay students, but it does prohibit homosexual behavior, which includes all forms of physical intimacy that give expression to homosexual feelings. So it's a big battle, and it's going on. And the only reason I'm frustrated with Matt Easton is because, look, why are we putting this in the face of everybody? Why is everybody being forced to deal with his choice to be gay? I get that he has his choice. I'm okay with his choice. What I'm not okay with is him forcing everyone else to either go along with his choice, clap and celebrate, or be kind of a bigot. Now, is it possible for me to love Matt Eastman as a son of God and say, I know he's my brother, a son of God, and I care for him and I hope his life goes well, but I'm disappointed in his choice? It's against what I believe to be the godly directive. Now, is it compatible for me to hold on to my religious belief but yet be kind and loving? Or is that the part that's become impossible? See, all choices in this free choice idea are welcome to the table except for my choice. That is to believe in and trust God's law, right? Mormons, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, believe acting anytime outside of marriage in a sexual way is wrong. And that the only time sex is permitted under God's law is between a one-man, one-woman marriage. And that's the standard. And I'm not here to abuse Matt Eastman or down, you know, trash talk him or anything else. I am here to say that I don't think it's fair that we're all forced to go along and celebrate, etc. Now, Brigham Young University may have approved the speech. They may be able to point to that. But when he comes to them and says, hey, I'm going to, you know, give this speech, and what are they supposed to say when they read it? No, you cannot. Then he comes out against the church or against Brigham Young University saying he tried to give this speech and they're so tyrannical they wouldn't let him. The point is, this was forced on Brigham Young University, forced on the church. And really, it's in contradiction to what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches. Now, does that mean we hate him? No. Does that mean we want hostility? Of course not. But I feel a duty to point out we can be kind and loving, but that does not mean we need to throw on the bonfire of destruction our beliefs. We can hold the line. We can stand up for biblical marriage. Okay, we don't ban gay students, but we do prohibit the relationship or the expression of those. Okay, KUTV noted that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that having same-sex attraction is not a sin, right? But acting upon those feelings is sinful. And acting upon the feelings of all sexual relationships outside of marriage is sinful. And no, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints does not consider a gay marriage, a lesbian marriage, to be a God-ordained marriage. See, that's where the problems become. And it's fine to be loving, but is there a way to have both beliefs coexist? And I would say that we, the people that are conservative Christians, believe there is. But the gay and lesbians do not believe there is. Matt Easton's force delivery proves the point. All right. There's a rugby association in trouble around the world too, ladies and gentlemen. Rugby association reprimands Christian, ignores player who attacked the Bible. So you got two players in this Christian debate here. Christian athlete Billy Vunipola He got disciplined for supporting biblical marriage. Did you see this, Kurt?
It seemed like I remember this story.
Yeah. So this is kind of the point here, and it directly relates to kind of the Matt Easton discussion. You could say, well, Matt's not that hostile, Sam. No, I understand, but that's the agenda. You are either forced to go along or shut up. So the guy that trashes the Bible's fine, but the guy that defends traditional marriage, hey, he's in trouble. Disciplined for supporting biblical marriage. See, and that's kind of where we're going. They don't just want their seat at the table, Kurt. What they want is their seat at the table for now, but then they want us to lose our seat at the table. And you could say, well, Sam, there's not all of them feel that way. Maybe not. But the leadership, the funding, the promotion of this certainly has that agenda. All right, Roy Moore's in the news. Did you see the lawsuit he's involved in, Kurt?
I didn't.
All right, so Roy Moore is going to go to court. Roy Moore to appear in federal court for the Sacha Baron lawsuit. I guess he wants the law suit to stay in D.C., not move to leftist New York. So that's kind of a big debate. Any commentary on that?
Well, I'll study up more on it.
Well, you don't need to study more on it. You just got to give your feelings on it, Kurt. What do you think?
Well, I want Judge Roy Moore to run for the Senate again and to win and to be in there, and I want him to get justice in the courts.
Couldn't agree more.
Imagine that.
Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby on your radio. So Roy Moore to appear in federal court. Roy Moore wants suit against Sacha Baron Cohen to stay in D.C., not go to the leftist New York. Amen to that. But you know what? They'll move it to New York and probably clean his clock. I pray that doesn't happen. Good folks are fighting on behalf of Roy Moore, and our prayers are with him. No doubt I agree with Kurt. I hope he becomes the next senator. And I hope we can expose those criminals who literally tried to derail his, did derail his campaign last time, and more. All right, Rick Corber's in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you know, and some people may not be aware of this, but this story at least has some, you know, personal connections to us. We've watched it as this gentleman, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not telling you he's perfect, but we basically saw the state go after him, and they wanted to make an example of him, and now there's more, more folks going after him, and they're going to try to, I guess you could say, send a message, Sam, and that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and you know, you want to know what I find fascinating about this, Kurt, is number one, over and over and over and over, Rick's been found not guilty.
Right.
Okay, but they just keep at it, keep at it. How long has this case been going on? Literally 15 years or something crazy?
I
have to go dig into it, but it's been forever.
Well, they say that this so-called Ponzi scheme, this is what the federal government calls it.
Because the federal government's not involved in any Ponzi schemes, a.k.a. the Federal Reserve, a.k.a.
Social Security
system, a.k.a. And we can just go on and on.
Well, they should know what a Ponzi scheme is because they run them. They say these situations occurred between 2004 and 2008. And
okay, if so everybody it started in 2004. My 15-year guess is dang close because it's 2019, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, they say that, it basically went down, this big real estate fiasco, they call it a Ponzi scheme. And I just say, hey, everybody was doing some pretty amazing, I guess you could say, high living.
The whole nation melted down in 07, 08, ladies and gentlemen, to prove the point. Literally hundreds of banks failed. And you're going to look at Rick Korber? Right. Okay, good luck with that.
And now, basically, they're bringing him back in. Federal prosecutors, they first filed charges against him back in 2009, his case was dismissed before it reached a jury in 2014. Now, that's, that whole speedy trial thing 5 years later. They cited prosecutors' pattern of widespread and continuous misconduct.
Sounds like the Ammon Bundy case, doesn't it? Prosecutors involved in massive misconduct over and over and over. But again, they won't let go of any of them. They just keep at it because, again, the government has unlimited money, Kurt.
Well, yeah, that's the key thing that you've got. And then they one of our good friends commented about the story and said, well, so much for double jeopardy, huh, Sam?
Hey, man. This is like quadruple or fintuck, whatever it is, sextuple jeopardy kind of thing. I mean, this guy's been at it over and over and over and over and over and over. All it gets tossed out and then it just comes back and it's like new charges and it doesn't end, Kurt. Just imagine if we took that attitude towards Hillary. We might actually get somewhere, huh?
But
Hillary's as let off as this guy is attacked.
Well, that's what it seems like to me. It sure seems unfair to say, hey, we're going to go ahead and really make some kind of an example out of this guy. And yet, it seems like there's just not enough lawyers and judges to go around when it comes to Bill and Hillary and, their type, if you will. Right, Sam?
Well, our prayers are with Rick Korber. And again, I don't know if Rick Korber's actions are perfect or not. I was a mortgage broker for many of those years too, Kurt, and I don't know that my actions were perfect or not. I'm being
serious.
With
all the rules, Sam, I mean, with all the little, it's like somebody that says, that they, if you want to ask somebody about their income tax that they get done, ask anyone, I believe, that has anybody besides somebody that has one of those, just a standard W-2 form, and
ask them
if they feel like, yeah, that's right.
Even those guys, because what if they basically come back and say there's some technicality or there's some glitch or there's some this or that. Remember, it's under penalty of perjury, sir. And this is kind of where we go. It's like, well, you look at the mortgage scenario and the lending laws, and hey, the government was involved in every one of those mortgages that we're talking about or every one of those transactions in some way or another, right? All the guidelines for mortgages are heavily regulated, Kurt, and heavily controlled by all kinds of government acts. If you go get a mortgage license, for example, and I'm here to tell you, I've been through this, so I know what I'm talking about. You have all kinds of, you got to understand the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and you got to understand the Fair Housing Act, and you got to understand, I mean, it's just government law after government law. The whole system is basically predicated on government taxpayer-funded money and regulation. I don't even know how to describe how much regulation, but it's out of control. And, you know, the government's involved in every step of the way of the meltdown. But, of course, in the end, the government's going to save us from the meltdown, too. Right? Is that how it's supposed to work? Anyway, so our prayers are with Rick Korber. Again, it's hard to follow this thing. It's been going on for like 15 years. And I just don't have a full-time job to be able to follow every twist and turn of the Rick Korber case. But I know Rick Korber personally. And I know this. Our prayers are with him. And one of the things that he's done, Kurt, is advocated for gold and silver, and he's known as the free capitalist, and I think that's his worst sin.
Well, you know, and Sam, one of the things he did was he took them on big time. I'm talking about the state and that kind of thing, by being on the on the air, and that made them even, you know, the bureaucrats even more ticked off, I think. But, you know, some would say, hey, you know, he should have just been quiet, you know, all that kind of stuff and rolled over. But, you know, I view him as a man that, you know, with a lot of courage. You know, it takes some guts to go up against them because they have so much power in his industry. You know, I mean, basically what he was doing was, you know, securities and that kind of thing. And when people are investing with you, if all you got to have, it's basically the kiss of death, if you ask me, if you have some government bureaucrat that reports that they're investigating.
Well, it's only the kiss of death if you're like the mere mortal flyover country people, or if you stand up for Christian conservative, you know, constitutional causes. Otherwise, it's no problem. Look at the Hillary. I mean, they had what? What was that thing called? Blackwater.
Well, they've had, yeah,
Whitewater. Yeah, I can't, you know, I don't know, black or white. All I'm telling you is they had that Watergate going on. They had, you know, she's had her big Uranium One deal. She's had her, you know, the Clinton Foundation's been in the, hey, there's no accountability for any of that stuff. Yeah, so it's only the select few that get attacked. And the more patriotic you are, the more Christian you are. So anyway, our prayers are with Rick Korber. And again, my biggest problem with this thing is over and over and over, the government just keeps bringing back this case. Yeah, of course they're going to get you on some technicality. They did this to not only Rick Korber, Kurt, but they did this to Steve Stockman, too. If the case just comes back enough times, Kurt, they're sure to get a conviction. They're sure to get a win. They're sure to have some twisted, you know, delivery of, well, they're doing the same thing to Roy Moore right now, right? I mean, you just keep good up point. The lies, and eventually something's got to stick, truth or not, but by, because there's so many laws and so many regulations and so many, and I don't even know how to describe it. Anyway, our prayers are with him. Larry Klayman is in the news, Kurt, and Larry Klayman has brought forth two interesting tidbits that I want to get your opinion on. Headline says, Larry Klayman, Freedom Watch just obtained documents after 8 years of delay by the Defense Intelligence Agency about UFOs, Area 51, and related phenomena. Now, they say many of these documents were in Russian, Kurt. Now, who's been colluding with the Russians, Kurt? I mean, why would we have Area 51 and UFOs and a bunch of our documents in related to Area 51 and phenomena? Why would these documents be in Russian, Kurt? And the answer...
That's a very good question.
And why would it take 8 years of delay to get these documents?
Well, you know, that's how that transparency thing works, Sam.
The Defense Intelligence Agency, Kurt, is the one that's been colluding with the Russians. That and Hillary Clinton.
DIA.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think of that? All right, Larry Klayman's got another doozy. I'll bring it to your attention in mere seconds. Talks about Fox News and one Judge Napolitano. Andrew Napolitano. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam and Kurt in seconds on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips at LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate if you have the heart to help, would you please?
Your day. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
House Democrats are to hold the first hearing today for a Medicare for All bill. The bill seeks to provide coverage for all people living in the United States within 2 years. Republicans and Democrats will both call in witnesses to testify at the hearing about the necessity of or costliness of the new plan. Former Vice President Joe Biden at his first major campaign event yesterday in Pittsburgh and firing back at President Trump over labor unions.
I make no apologies. I am a union man. Period.
Biden also tweeting on Monday that he is sick of President Trump bad-mouthing unions. His comments follow a Trump tweet that said the heads of labor unions, quote, rip off their membership with ridiculously high dues, medical, and other expenses while being paid a fortune. And this is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Bank of America. According to the American Cleaning Institute, 76% of Americans participate in spring cleaning every year. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive John Sellers outlines tips and tools that can help you clean up your finances to maximize financial rewards.
Spring cleaning is all about hitting the refresh button, and that includes refreshing your spending and finances to maximize rewards. Try to stick with your favorite brands to accumulate maximum benefits through their rewards programs. Additionally, consider consolidating your savings and investment accounts down to one financial institution. This will simplify your banking, and the balance of your consolidated accounts may also qualify you for a program like Bank of America Preferred Rewards. Our Preferred Rewards members enjoy great benefits, including credit card rewards bonuses of up to 75%, home and auto loan discounts, no fees on select banking services, and more. And as a member's qualifying balances grow with Bank of America, so does their preferred rewards benefits.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
In his first campaign event since making his run official, former Vice President and now Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden talked about building up the middle class during a rally in Pittsburgh.
It starts with access to affordable education so that everyone can get the skills they need. 12 years of education in the 21st century is not enough.
And Biden accused President Donald Trump of abusing the powers of his office and ignoring everyone but his political base. The number of measles cases in the U.S. continues to climb. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar with the numbers.
CDC is reporting 704 cases of measles from 22 states. This is the greatest number of cases reported in the United States since measles was eliminated.
So far, no deaths have been reported. Boys in the Hood director John Singleton died Monday at the age of 51 due to complications from a stroke he suffered almost 2 weeks ago. At age 24, he became the youngest and first black filmmaker to win an Oscar nomination for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Larry Klayman says Fox News' Napolitano is not a friend. And what he's referring to is the big battle between Donald Trump and Judge Napolitano. Now, some are saying Judge Napolitano wanted a special, you know, position. Donald didn't give it to him. So then Napolitano went ballistic. Napolitano basically says, hey, you know what? Donald is guilty of obstruction of justice. And then Donald fired back at Napolitano. And so, Kurt, to me, this, I mean, I appreciate Larry Klayman's point, but I'm not really ready to attack Judge Napolitano. A lot of times, you know what, without being on the inside, you don't really know the details. And so I don't know that I want to go off on this because I'm not really sure of exactly what happened and whether it's just sour grapes really on Napolitano's part. Yeah, I don't know. What I know is this. Oftentimes, the insiders can get two people fighting, and when you hear both sides, you go, I understand that, but wait a minute, we should know better and see through this and get along and work through it. I agree with all that, but I also see sometimes it breaks down, and I would just simply say, without knowing from the inside what's really going on, I'm not here to pick Trump's side as much as Larry Klayman might. I'm also not necessarily here to pick Napolitano's side. I just know this, there's a lot of mudslinging going on, and I think the Democrats are stirring folks up, and the inside swamp monsters, Republicans alike, are stirring people up against each other unnecessarily. For example, you got a feud between what, Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi also? Okay, I'm just telling you, what is it, Operation Divide Patriots? Operation Divide conservatives or constitutionalists? It almost seems like that's what's going on, especially when you look at, let's say, a Rand Paul and a Mitch McConnell in the same state, or a Mike Lee and a Mitt Romney in the same state. You know, it just seems like, what, Operation Divide conservatives is underway. And so that's my concern about it. Any comment on that, Kurt?
Well, I couldn't agree more with your assessment, Sam. I mean, at least to me, the bottom line is that's what you'd want to do if you're an enemy of either one of them or both of them.
Yes, sir.
Is you'd want to, you know, encourage the divide there so that they wouldn't work together, even on things they agree with. And I did see the reports saying that Napolitano had basically asked the president, this is according to the president, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but Napolitano says he didn't do that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So I don't really know. Here's what I know, Kurt, in my mind. I hope calmer heads prevail. I hope they can work out their differences, and I hope we can pull in the same direction for the sacred cause of liberty. And I'm not about to take the bait and pick sides. Not doing it.
Sure, interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. And again, I bet you if you were to dig in, you would see both sides and go, I can understand some of that. All right, Kurt wants to talk about warmer spring weather. He wants to talk about beekeepers because he's, what, a honey man? LocalHoneyMan.com to get your local honey delivered directly to your door, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I found it interesting, Sam. They've got some, they call it swarming honeybees. And they say this happens, with warmer spring weather. And apparently, Sam, for example, here in the state of Utah, they have some, what was it? It's some huge amount of what are called, registered beekeepers. Now, I guess you've probably got a bunch of unregistered ones as well, and that's according to the Utah Department.
Hey, let me just tell you, them are undocumented food. Beekeepers, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. And this one guy.
I bet in that case they wouldn't hesitate to call them illegal ones, huh, Kurt? They wouldn't say undocumented in that case now, would they?
Well, yeah. It was interesting to me just reading this. It basically is just telling you that, hey, there's concerns that sometimes bees don't stay in the same place. And so you want to get a beekeeper to help you. Or, what some people do is they call the insecticide killer guys, and this article points out that, hey, try to save the bees. And I thought it was interesting because if they say, man, if it's wasps or hornets, spray those and kill them, there's no comment in here about, well, let's try to do I guess you could say use the kinder, gentler way and, quit putting all that toxic stuff into the environment, if you will. But then I'm supposed to be the earth hater, that kind of thing. So it's just interesting to me to see this time of year stories about it.
Well, here's what I find interesting about the story. They go on and tell you not to kill the bees, and they talk about how important the pollen is to a lot of crops and to a lot of farmers and things like that. Hey, if we don't have the bees and then they don't deal with the pollen, then, hey, we have all kinds of downstream difficulties from that. And I agree with them. It's a valid point to understand. And as less and less people live on a farm and understand some of these things, the more we need to understand these swarming bees aren't a threat if you get the right people to deal with them. I support all that, Kurt. Here's the problem that I have with it. Then I don't know what his name is in here.
Cunningham.
Okay, Cunningham. I think he's a nutcase, though, and here's why. Here's what he says. We certainly know that we are destroying the planet with every little thing that we do, he says. Yeah. And so anything we can do to, well, whether it's using plastic or simply just knowing about our environment, in this case, bees, I think it's important. Kurt, we're not destroying the planet with every little thing we do.
I know.
Okay, it isn't true.
But this author, or this, the author of the story picked that out. And what I
well,
find
it's the farmer
so
that came
interesting,
up with that, or the beekeeper guy.
Well, I know, but they picked that out of course, they probably interviewed this guy for 2 hours and then pick out.
I don't know. I just know that's what this guy said, and the government or the mainstream press perpetuates that, right?
Right.
And so there's, to me, an agenda here. Now, I agree with being kind to the bees, and I agree that we need to do better at taking care of our environment. What I don't believe is, again, this idea that every little thing we do is the problem. Kurt, humans are the problem. The bees are fine. The humans are the bad guys. See, I don't believe that. I believe God put us on the earth and bees on the earth. And then he gave us dominion over the whole thing and said, hey, you know what? Take care of the bees and take care of the environment and, you know, do the best job you can. And I think that's what we need to work towards doing, not dividing people or attacking people or et cetera. And I think that's the kind of the problem that I have with the story.
Good point.
But, you know, the idea that we should understand the important role honeybees play, and the idea is that we shouldn't just kill them because we're afraid of them or whatever. We should do things that are more productive. I agree with the general sentiment. All right.
Good point.
Anything else on this one, Kurt?
You know, when it comes to the whole, you know, bees story, I think it's just interesting because it comes back to the power of the mainstream media. They can basically say that, hey, you know, raw honey, local honey, be good for your allergies. And man, it's amazing how many people believe that, Sam. And I'm not telling you that they're wrong. I'm simply telling you it's amazing to see the power
they believe
that has when they suggest. Well, when the mainstream media somehow admits or at least says that local honey is raw, local honey is good for your allergies, which is, man, a huge departure from the whole pharmaceutical world. It's amazing how many people have heard that and believe that. And so I guess I could say, well, what I find it interesting when I have customers come up and say, man, I got to get more of that stuff. It really helps my allergies. I'm thinking, well, either they just, you know, think it helps them, or maybe it really does, Sam.
Yeah, what do you say, Kurt?
Well, I like to listen to the customers. I do tell him this, that I say, well, with our 22 grandkids, I like to find the best tasting honey. So when they're tempted to eat, you know, a dozen donuts or, you know, sugar and corn syrup in all forms that comes at them from everywhere, maybe the good honey that comes to them from God can maybe compete.
Yeah, amen. However, that's a different question than I asked you. See, Kurt's like a politician sometimes, folks. He's hesitant
to
answer.
Yeah, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'll tell you this right now. I do believe honey's local honey and the pollens and things like that have a lot to do with, I don't want to say immunizing because that's a bad word, but helping the body adapt to its environment and build up a resistance to the typical allergies. And when we continue to have the corn syrup and all the garbage we have and our immune system's weakened and we don't have the proper elements in our body that can give us this natural defense against these allergies and things like that, I think it can help us adapt to our society. I believe honey does a phenomenal job. Local honey with local pollens relating to the plants around you does a phenomenal job for that. Now, the government would say there's no scientific evidence, although they're not doing anything to help the scientific evidence. They're just saying, hey, your customers and their opinions don't count. You got to have evidence. I'm here to tell you, I'm doubling down and saying, I believe it's true and that it works. I think your multitude of customers proves the point, personally.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress, now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this Thursday, May the 3rd, is the 67th.
By the way, it's May the 2nd, so I know the story says May the 3rd, but the 2nd is the Thursday.
Well, then you know what you should do? You should tell me if it's really Thursday or if it's the 3rd or what it really is. Is it the 2nd on Wednesday?
I did check that, yes, Sam. And so our buddy there has...
You should update the story,
you know, Chuck Norris.
So what do I got to do now? Norris, so it's Thursday?
May the 2nd.
But it's May 2nd, N-D, yes. Not the 3rd.
That's right. And all that's right. The 67th annual National Day of Prayer, by the way. And I thought it was nice at our church building. I noticed walking out, we were down in Delta on last Sunday, and I noticed walking out, hey, there was a sticker on the door that said, hey, don't forget the National Day of Prayer coming up, you know, which I think is kind of nice, you know. I'm sure Google will have one of those, you know, big things on their site.
Of course
they
will.
Promoting the National Day of Prayer. And every big piece, big media piece will remind you of it ahead of time.
All right. So this Thursday, May the 2nd, is the 67th National Day of Prayer. 67 years they've been doing it, folks. And it's kind of interesting.
It started out in 1952.
It's kind of interesting to talk about America's founders on the National Day of Prayer discussion a little bit, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. When you go back, and this piece we found on WorldNet Daily, Chuck Norris is the author, he reminds people why this nation depends on Almighty Deity. I mean, imagine doing something like that. I mean, he quotes... He
it's
says, President
Kurt.
John, I know it is. But, Sam, what I wish is that, you know, more people could know about it. And he says in 1789, after being urged, he's getting this from Wall Builders, by the way, where historian David Barton says this, and he talks about the founding fathers on prayer. David Barton details many of our founders' ponderings and passions about prayer. And then he wants to give you a small example. In 1789, he says, after being urged by Congress on the same day they finished drafting the First Amendment, President Washington issued a Thanksgiving proclamation stating, quote, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. He goes on to say President John Adams declared that America's independence, quote, ought to be commemorated as the Day of Deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Then he's got Ben Franklin saying how he was particularly eloquent on the power of prayer in government as he addressed those who attended the Constitutional Convention. Just a bunch of good stuff, Sam. What do you say?
Yeah, I say it's great stuff. I think it's important to understand. Now, there was in days gone past, they didn't want the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, to participate. But I think they're over a lot of that now, and people are working together for prayer. And I love to see people healing the divide. I love to see people working together, and I love to see a National Day of Prayer. And I love Chuck Norris highlighting America's founders' view and how they behaved regarding why this nation depends on a mighty deity. Or an almighty deity, I should say. And it's important this Thursday, May the 2nd, to understand that it's the 67th annual National Day of Prayer. And what I love about this, Kurt, is the theme. We need to talk about the theme of this annual event in 2 days.
Great point. Yep. And that theme happens to be, let me find it.
This year it's called Love One Another.
One Another. Yeah,
and cool. We say it couldn't be a better one, especially when we're thinking about praying for others and stuff like that. I've been saying we should pray for these innocents in prison folks for a long time. We've been saying we should pray for President Trump for a long time. For example, the battle between Trump and Napolitano, I'm praying they can see eye to eye and humble themselves and work it out and work together for the sacred cause to which we're engaged. That is the cause of the Christian, the cause of Christ. The cause of liberty. Okay, and I think that we really need to work on this. And I think it's a good idea to say, love one another. That's what I think the Prince of Peace would want from us, Kurt. And I think it's really a great theme to say love one another. I think it's a great theme for the prayer. And I like having kind of a theme every year of focus. It might be repentance. It might be love one another. It might be a clarion call for civility. It might be pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you, turn the other cheek. It might be, pray for those who are suffering with natural and whatever disasters. Pray for those who are in more wicked governments than we are, that somehow liberty can prevail. And I mean, there's so many things to pray for that are good and worthy and honorable. And what an opportunity, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And on the National Day of Prayer website, there's some interesting facts on there, Sam. They've got, they say there have been 146 national calls to prayer, humiliation, fasting, and thanksgiving by the President of the United States, and that's been in between 1789.
Is the right word humiliation?
Well, that's what they say. In other words, being humble, it's not sackcloth.
I don't know
ashes,
that I'd use the word humiliation,
cool.
though.
Well, that's what it says on here.
I get it. I'm just saying humiliation means to me kind of you get schnookered or you get humiliated or whatever. And I understand what they're saying.
Well,
I agree with the humble attitude.
Humble in us, yeah.
I'm just telling you how the word in our society is usually used differently, Kurt.
Just like liberal used to be
that's right.
Pretty good thing. But anyway, then they say there have been 69 presidential proclamations for the National Day of Prayer. We mentioned that from 1952 to current. Now, this is interesting to me. Gerald Ford, George H. Bush, Barack H. Obama, and Donald J. Trump are four presidents. And what do they have in common, Sam? What do you think?
Well, they believed in God. They were Christians, right?
Well, that's got Barack Obama in there, too. And it says they're the only U.S. presidents to sign multiple National Day of Prayer proclamations in the same year. So, I just found it interesting. I would have not expected Barack to be in there. And some folks, knowing President Trump, would think he wouldn't be in there. But, out of all those 69 years now that this has been going on, there's only four presidents that have done that multiple times in the same year. They say every president since 1952 has signed a National Day of Prayer proclamation. 35 of the 45 U.S. presidents have signed proclamations for national prayer. Three of the presidents who did not sign a proclamation died while serving in office. So maybe that's one reason why they sign it. Somebody finds that out, you don't want to encourage your demise, I guess you will.
Yeah.
So just interesting stuff, huh, Sam?
Well, and this kind of goes a little bit to where, Kurt, some of these folks you wouldn't believe relate to prayer like they do because of all what we hear in the media. And I'm just saying, hey, whether it's Carter or anybody from any side of the aisle, hey, I hope, you know, take away all the spin, take away all the fluff, take away. I hope these people are genuine Christians. And regardless of our political and or sometimes religious differences, I pray that their desire to follow Christ is genuine. In fact, sadly, less people are doing that today, according to the latest new Gallup poll. Kurt?
Good point. Yeah, Sam, the latest poll is basically saying that church membership in the U.S. is plummeting. This is over the past 20 years. Now, you know, this is exactly the kind of story the AP likes, and so they're going to pump this baby out big time. You know, and that's what they say. They say the percentage of U.S. adults who belong to a church or other religious institution has plunged by 20 percentage points over the past 2 decades. They say it's hit a low of 50% last year. That's according to a new Gallup poll.
Do you believe it, Kurt?
What's that?
Do you believe it?
Well, this is what they say. I've seen, you know, at least in my circles, if you will, some sad situations where people have, you know, turned their back on God. That's what I see. They say among major demographic groups, the biggest drops were recorded among Democrats and Hispanics. So, I thought it was interesting. But anyway, they say Gallup said church membership was 70% back in 1999. And they say since 99, the figure has fallen steadily, while the percentage of U.S. adults with no religious affiliation has jumped from 8% to 19%. We need to return to God, Sam. And that's, it's like that last story said, it's the only way to move forward with his help.
Yeah, and I believe it's true. I believe people are less religious, Kurt. And I think that the answer is homeschool.
Good point.
If we get taught religion on the Sabbath day by our families at home, then I think this flight from religion will stop. And this turn to God will be increased. And I think that's one of the great answers, to spend time as a family learning the stories of Jesus, learning about Christ's life, learning about his central mission, learning about his great sacrifice and subsequent resurrection, and testifying to your children and to those around you that he lives. And I honestly believe that preaching the word of God is probably the best solution for this, Kurt, within the walls of your own home, within the areas of your community, and standing with God's laws and commandments as the solution, as the way we the people can qualify for liberty. I mean, that's all God's asked us to do. Is he said, or, you know, he says, come follow me. And I think if we do more of that and teach more of that and spend time on more of that, some would say, well, Sam, you're too religious for me. And my response is, you know, we all have our struggles with spirituality and how to come unto Christ. It's a difficult road. You know, the man that had said, hey, I've done everything, Lord. I've helped everybody. I've done great. What do I lack yet? And it was, give away all your riches and come follow me. The guy couldn't do it. So there's no doubt that it's tough to follow Christ. But I do believe it is the answer. And I do believe if you want peace in your life, that is the only way. To have true peace in your heart, to have the Spirit of God guide you in your life, and to obtain real protection. When you follow the commandments of God, ladies and gentlemen, it is not roadblocks or stumbling blocks. It is designed to make men free. And I say men as in mankind. It is designed to give us true liberty. And that's where we point to biblical solutions. We hope to be another testament of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. All right, thanks. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. I pray that people return to church. I'll tell you that right now. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.